Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We have a bunch going on around the Arizona Cardinals today that I want to get into. That's on my mind. It was a good day for the Diamondbacks yesterday. The Aaron Andrews lawsuit was settled. I had a really good conversation with Paula about that yesterday. Paula Bovin, my friend from AZ Central. Eric is taking off for Vegas because, of course, Eric is taking off. Other than Waco is usually where he heads off to. Or somewhere in the Big 12, someplace along the way. Dallas, I don't know.
I never go to Waco. No one ever.
What are you talking about?
No one ever wants to go to Waco.
If TCU's playing there, you go, right?
Nope.
You won't go there?
No.
Are you like the guy
I don't spend money down in Waco.
Oh, you're the ASU guy that doesn't go to Tucson. Oh, I see how this works. You're that guy. Eric's going to the Pac-12 tournament. Yesterday, you were just... I watched the show back last night. You were like this... Charlie Brown, dude. Oh, ASU, they never win in Vegas, which is true.
They're 3-13. I mean, the numbers really... Oh, yeah, they have a new coach.
They have a new coach.
They're playing a team that is so desperate for a win in Oregon State. They're like one of the last ones in, according to Joe Lunardi. So we'll see. They'll be double-digit underdogs. They play the late game.
Of course they should.
They have no chance of going to any sort of tournament. So,
the Suns are going for 3 in a row. So they've got the Knicks tomorrow night and Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony is like, I would never, ever, ever build a franchise around him. So, of course, he has all the answers. I want to get into that. Maria Sharapova, and actually think she handled it the right way and her suspension. And, of course, a bunch going on with the Diamondbacks. This is one of the busiest times of year in sports, obviously. The NFL free agency period is here, and now that it's here, you look at it from the Cardinals' perspective. And let's just go through these things that are out there or things that may happen around the Arizona Cardinals here over the next few days as free agency is off and running. And first, let's start with Calais Campbell. So a tweet gets put out by somebody down in West Palm Beach who's in the media that says they're told that Calais is being shopped and it is immediately shot down by Kent Summers of AZ Central. Look, here's the thing. Could you look at it and say, well, during the season, Bruce Arians was always on Calais Campbell? Yeah, sure, you could say that. But I think it's because Calais Campbell could handle somebody getting after him. And this notion that just because it's crazy season and because media companies are just chasing clicks right now, they are. Fortunately, I don't sit here and chase clicks every day. We're into content marketing, not click marketing. There's a distinct difference, huge difference. So I don't need to make stuff up and just throw it out there and say, God, we got gobs of clicks because we put this story up that wasn't ever going to happen. You know, could it be that Calais Campbell would be somebody the Cardinals would look at? Sure, every player has got to look at their number. In the NFL, it stands for not for long. That's been out there for years and years. And just when you think you're safe and secure, you get whacked. It happens. But I trust Kent, and on that front, I say Calais is not going anywhere. Bobby Massey. So, gosh almighty, when I hear that Bobby Massey is going to get north of $8 million a year, he's going to be paid more than Jared Valdir. That there are teams out there that are looking at Bobby Massey saying he is the answer to all of our ills on the offensive line. He's a nice enough guy, okay? But he's been on roller skates since he's been with the Cardinals on the offensive line. There is a reason why the Cardinals drafted DJ Humphreys last season and put him on scholarship and just sat over to the side. 8 million reasons for Bobby Massey? Man. Okay, Drew Stanton may not return to the Cardinals as a backup quarterback. Now, when I was at the Combine, I was pretty direct with Steve Keim about where are you at with all your quarterbacks, not just Carson, and finding the replacement for Carson. That's always going to be out there. You have to find that next guy. You know, they've tried with Logan Thomas, didn't work out. They tried with Matt Barkley. I don't know. They haven't seen Matt Barkley in camp. Drew Stanton has a 5-3 record as a starter. Can I see Drew Stanton being the replacement for Carson Palmer, as good a guy as he is? And we all remember him going down the sidelines and waving his arm and being all excited. The answer is probably no. I don't see him as the guy for the next 5 years, 8 years after Carson leaves. That's not the secession program that I'm looking at. If he were of that ilk, of that caliber, and guys think that they are of that caliber, they just need a change of scenery. I get it. You know, you look at a guy like Blaine Gabbert, who was getting his head kicked in down in Jacksonville. He goes up to San Francisco, and people are saying, oh, well, you know what? He could play in this league. Drew Stanton, the replacement for Carson Palmer, myself, I don't see it. I feel good about him as the backup to him, but I can't see 16 games. So if, in fact, he wants to go out there and test his wares, how can you blame him? If he's of the opinion, look, I've been in this league. I deserve to be a starting quarterback because I'm Drew Stanton and I can get the job done. What guy wouldn't say that? But if you're the Cardinals, it's, okay, we love you. We're glad that you've been here. But if you feel as though you're a starter, go find it. Go prove it. And look, let's be honest, around the NFL, it's not like there's a dearth of quarterbacks. Every year we're looking down the line when it gets towards December and it's like a meat market. It's this guy's thinking of coming out of retirement and that guy is still, and this guy's starting games. There's not a lot of great quarterbacks in the league. So a guy like Drew Stanton, maybe he can go somewhere else. You know, if Brock Osweiler decides to stay in Denver, which it seems to me seems the most plausible explanation, then Drew Stanton looks around and says, you know, Houston needs a quarterback. You know, St. Louis needs a quarterback. You can go right down the list and go to destinations and say, this team needs somebody, anybody. So I'm not going to be losing sleep. No offense to Drew Stanton. I get it. If he wants to go be in a position where he's going to be a starter, because he's not going to start here unless Carson Palmer gets hurt. And is he the long-term answer here? I think they draft a quarterback. If Drew Stanton leaves, does it make the Cardinals look at the quarterback drafting position that much earlier in the draft? Do they say, you know what, we are going to take a first-round flyer, the end of first-round flyer at a quarterback this year? The fact that they're linked to Bruce Irvin, that's an interesting name to me. If I remember correctly, when the Cardinals, Eric, help me out on this one. When the Cardinals played the Seahawks, I think I remember Bruce Arians going crazy gaga over Bruce Irvin and talking about him during the week and saying, you know, I really like him. He's a heck of a player. He's this, he's that. He's my kind of guy. I mean, I don't think it was borderline tampering, but if I remember correctly, there was this real affection towards the type of player that he is.
And of course, if there was a way that they could get Bruce Irvin, you'd kill two birds with one stone. You'd add a great player and you'd also subtract one of the Seahawks' better defensive players.
Sure.
Win-win situation.
Sure. And, you know, he's looking at Jacksonville. He's looking at Atlanta. His former coaches are pursuing him. If the Cardinals swoop in and address that need, is that really getting the pass rush to where it needs to be? I still say no. You know, the back end of their secondary is a concern to me. Are they going to have some losses there?
And they only have so much money. So if you're going to bring in a big free agent, that is going to take a big piece of that pie to put aside. Of course, they need another pass rusher, but we know Steve Keim, and we know he has been able to land diamonds in the rough by waiting and getting guys like Dwight Freeney on the cheap. But maybe Bruce Irvin is someone that comes in and just is established and isn't just a year-to-year piece, but someone that they can count on for years to come.
Well, but here's the thing on this, okay? If you go spend money on Irvin, you look at the quarterbacks. Let's go back to Drew Stanton. So Drew Stanton leaves, and who are some of the veteran quarterbacks that are out there this year? Okay, you're going to have, what, Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing back and forth with the Jets. You're going to have Colin Kaepernick. You're going to have RG3. You're going to have some guys. You're going to have Johnny Manziel. You know what I mean? You're going to have names that are just names.
But they're not Fitz.
No, they're not.
And Drew Stanton is a guy who knows the system, knows Arians, knows how to be, at worst, a competent quarterback. We've seen what's happened in the past with Carson Palmer. We've seen how that ended when he got hurt. At least Drew Stanton is someone, I don't think he's a replacement, like you said, but at least he's serviceable and at least he can run the offense and get them to where they need to go.
But here's the thing. Does the organization look at Drew Stanton and say, you know what, it's been great. You want to go chase it. That's fine, because internally, you have to have these hard conversations. You have to be able to look at that person and say, we wish you well. There's no ill will. But maybe if there was somebody that was of a little higher caliber and Carson Palmer's playing with a hurt finger late in the season, they feel more comfortable in making the switch. So I think if you're the Cardinals, this is a dicey situation at quarterback, but it does impact your draft thoughts. Because if you lose Stanton and you don't address it in free agency, then it says very clearly they're going to draft a quarterback up high. And as I look at these quarterbacks that are out there this year, I mean, when Chad Henne gets 2 years and $8 million and he's done nothing, Drew Stanton may go out on the market and say, well, come on, he's getting $8 million and he has a losing record as a starter. Look at what I've done.
One name who could fit via free agency is Mike Glennon. Remember the big, tall quarterback
from
Carolina NC State that Arians liked a couple years ago?
Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah, he's a name that in the whispered circles has been maybe a guy that could come in, and if Stanton does leave, that could back up Carson Palmer.
Because if you're coming here, if you're a veteran free agent quarterback, you're coming here not to play. I mean, you're going to say, well, I'm here to compete. I'm here to push Carson. I'm here to make Carson better and all that stuff. But let's be honest. You've got the ball cap on backwards with the headset, and you're holding a clipboard.
But history tells us that Carson Palmer has an injured past.
Not this past season, other than the finger, and he says that wasn't a big deal. The organization wasn't a big deal. They made it through. Look, to me, we can disagree on this. It's fine. To me, the better situation for the Cardinals on this, again, if Stanton leaves, I'm not sitting here crying over it because he wants to go to an opportunity where he has a chance to play. I get it. He has that ability. There's some crazy dollars being thrown out there. Maybe the Cardinals are looking at it saying, we're not going to pay you that type of money.
Yeah, I think a lot of it will come down to the price tag.
Yeah, but if you then go the route that, let's say, Denver went. Okay, we have Peyton Manning. We know he's not going to be here forever, so we're going to draft somebody, and that somebody's going to hold a clipboard for a couple of years rather than being thrown to the Wolves. Now, at the Combine, Bruce Arians said they got to play. Guys have got to play. When you draft them, that's how they get better. So there's this dynamic that's now starting to form here. And look, Steve and Bruce have been, by their own admission, they've stayed in their own lanes. When it comes to quarterback and the vision of quarterback and the future at quarterback, you know, it's a really interesting time for the Cardinals because they've admitted we've got to find a replacement down the road for Carson. Carson could be here 3-4 more years. He could be Drew Brees and Tom Brady. I get it. But if you think that it's all going to be there for Carson, that he can still make all the throws, one day Peyton Manning went on the field and every last one of us looked at him and said, man, that's hard to watch. You don't know how quick it can go.
And what you said, it could be a franchise-to-franchise thing when it comes to if you should start or sit a quarterback. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is the poster child for someone who came in, waited his turn, and now he's one of the elite quarterbacks.
Sure. And when it happened, it was, oh, yeah, nice quarterback. But Aaron Rodgers has gone far further than that. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. In about 10 minutes, we're going to go to Tucson and Skype in Matt Dudek, University of Arizona Director on Campus of Recruiting. So here's the thing. We're in this time of year where, yeah, there's a lot going on with the NFL, but there's also a ton going on the college and high school fronts with recruiting and player movement. And I think a lot of you may have this perception that a kid gets looked at and he gets an offer and he goes off to college. That's not how it works. And you're throwing crazy money at these recruiting services to try to get you discovered. And I don't think you need to do that. So I'm going to go through a little bit of a checklist with Matt Dudek. We do this a couple times a year. He handles the recruiting for the U of A, and he'll join us in about 15 minutes. On the other side, the Diamondbacks, Carmelo, and much more. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Welcome back. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussmat with you. Tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, we partner with Fox Sports Arizona. We have two shows tonight. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, and Brad Sussmat, Baseball AZ. The Baseball AZ show is on in regions around the country, which is cool. Fox Sports Southwest, Fox Sports Midwest, Fox Sports Wisconsin, Fox Sports San Diego, Fox Sports Ohio. And we appreciate the partnership with Fox Sports. We're all about partnerships. Partnerships are a good thing. Over to the Diamondbacks. I want to work them in on today's show a little bit. So there's a couple guys that we talked about at the start of spring training that I was really interested to see how they would perform. and neither one was a pitcher. Look, it's pretty easy. It's low-hanging fruit to say, boy, I hope Patrick Corbin comes back and it looks good at spring training. Got it. Understood. Yeah, you're right. It'll be really interesting to see what happens with the fourth and fifth starters with Robbie Ray and Ruby De La Rosa and Archie Bradley coming into the mix. Got it. Understood. Yeah, Zach Greinke, when he throws, it's going to be an adventure and an event. Yes, it will be. By all accounts of spring training tomorrow, Zach Greinke probably shouldn't have a great outing. It's the second start, second, third start to spring training. You'll hear about the dead arm period and all that stuff. I don't know if that's as prevalent as it once was. There was no cause for concern or alarm or anything along those lines. I'm not expecting the worst tomorrow. I'm just saying usually around the second or third start, it's a little choppy. It's a little bumpy. They're getting their work in. They may get hit around. That's what happens in spring training. But Brandon Drury was a name that I think it was Tom Candiotti who told us this about a month ago. And I liked Drury last year, but he hasn't been talked about much. And Tom gave me, I asked him, give me a name of somebody in this year's organization that you look at and say, you know, they're not really getting a whole lot of run. And he threw Brandon Drury out there. Drury hit a 2-run home run yesterday. Wellington Castile was one of those players that showed up last year and had a really solid second half of the season. He had 5 runs batted in yesterday. I get it. It's one game. But those are two players that I look at because, I don't know, last time I checked, I know Paul Goldschmidt's really good. Last time I checked, Paul Goldschmidt's going to have an MVP season outside of an injury happening to him. That's just who we have here in Arizona. He's one of the top players. Most people don't acknowledge it or know it because he's in Arizona. But guys like Drury and Castillo, I think the question about the depth on this organization from a bench standpoint is a very fair question to ask. And Drury in particular is somebody you look at in that regard. So they play a couple of games today. We're just too dang busy. We haven't been out to just hang out at a Cactus League game other than go around shoot games. But the Padres play the Diamondbacks today in Peoria, and Zach Godley is pitching there. And then they play the Angels this afternoon with Robbie Ray, and that's a 4 o'clock start, 4 o'clock this afternoon. So on the Diamondbacks front, that's what's going on. Over on the Suns, so the Suns are off till Wednesday. They're off till tomorrow when they take on the Knicks. I simply bring this up from the standpoint of the Suns could have a 3-game winning streak. Who would have thought that? And Carmelo Anthony is coming to town. Now, Carmelo's one of those players. There was a time and a place when Carmelo Anthony was a player that some Suns fans said, we need to go after Melo. And I've always said, I do not want Melo on my team because I'm one of those guys that when you look at box scores and you see that he scored 35, yet he was 12 of 39 from the floor. I don't want somebody taking a whole bunch of shots just to get their shots. That's not a team player. And what do you know? The Knicks have blown for all these years. But now because Carmelo Anthony is Carmelo Anthony, he's got it all figured out. He does. He's going to be here tomorrow night. And he has got it figured out that he's going to turn the Knicks around himself. Carmelo Anthony wasn't present for any of the New York Knicks face-to-face meetings with free agents. That's going to change this summer. Of course it is. Quote, put me at the head of the table and let's go to work. Anthony told reporters in Denver on Monday. The Knicks will have at least $18 million in cap space this summer. Anthony wants to sell free agents on what it's like to play in New York. You're never going to get the ball when I'm out on the floor, so get ready to rebound. There's that answer for you. I can even sit in on that meeting and say, yeah, if you come here, ball distribution is going to be a problem. This summer, the Knicks' record might hinder the club's attempts to land some of the top free agents on the market. This year's free agents include Kevin Durant. Yeah, it'd be nice if Kevin Durant came here to Arizona. It'd be nice if he came to the Suns. Don't see it happening. Mike Conley, don't see it happening. Al Horford, I'd be interested in Al Horford. One potential free agent point guard, Rajon Rondo, has said he's hesitant to play in the Knicks offense. Of course he is, because he's never going to see the ball. What was the term that they used? It's the black hole. You toss it down low, it never comes back out. It's going to get put up. It doesn't matter how bad of a shot that it is. So Carmelo's going to show up tomorrow night, and I'm sure that there's going to be some conversation about what would it look like for the Suns to pursue that big-time free agent or that big-time player in a trade, and let's go get Carmelo Anthony. And I'm just like, please, check yourself at the door. Not interested at all. Last night, Cleveland lost to Memphis and the Spurs lost to Indiana. I bring this up simply because the Spurs are chasing Golden State for the best record in the NBA. They're pretty close behind them.
And Memphis was playing with pretty much most of their starting five out. So,
there's something going on in Cleveland.
Nice job.
There's something going on in Cleveland.
Home loss to Memphis without Mike Conley, Zach Rudolph, and a bunch of other guys.
Yeah, Marc Gasol's
gone. Or Zach Randolph, excuse me, not Zach Rudolph.
Yeah, Marc Gasol's out for the year, so... But there's something going on in Cleveland with LeBron. He's doing these creepy tweets because he's LeBron. And he talked about how he has his mind games that he likes to play and that it makes you mentally stronger and all that stuff. Look, it's one of those things that if you look at Cleveland, if I'm David Griffin, and I like Griff a lot, and I've known Griff a long, long time, but I get the feeling in Cleveland that he might want to think about renting rather than buying if this thing goes the direction that it's going and they don't make it to the finals and win a title. There's certain organizations that have a group of players. It's kind of like the Suns. You know, the Suns broke up. When Joe Johnson got out of here, that was the start of the end, in my opinion. You know, others will disagree and say, no, they had plenty of talent. Letting Joe go was not a big deal. I disagree with that. Holding on to Steve for as long as they did was a mistake. You know, there were just things that they did that you could go back and say, shouldn't have done this, shouldn't have done this, shouldn't have done this, shouldn't have done this. In Cleveland, if they don't win with the cast that they have around LeBron this year, then it's time to break that thing up. In Los Angeles with the Clippers, if Doc Rivers doesn't win this year, there's already a lot of conversation around the league that Doc Rivers could be looking for a new job if they don't get to the finals this year. And there's something about the Clippers that tells me they're not going to get to the finals. It's an interesting time in the NBA. The NBA playoffs, because the Warriors are so good and so much fun to watch, I'm into them this year. There's been years where it's like, geez, oh man, the pro team here stinks and the rest of the NBA is down. There's some fun teams to watch, and there's some very interesting storylines. Sports360AZ.com, we partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. On the other side, Matt Dudek, University of Arizona Director of Recruiting. We're going to talk some recruiting philosophy. This is kind of a backstory for you guys that are in the college football and high school football world that I think is really interesting. Just a couple times a year where we drop on in on some of the guys on the recruiting front, because that's a big part of what we do at sports360az.com. Stay with us. All right, we're going to talk recruiting now for a couple of minutes, because I think that this is a storyline that many, many, many parents, even coaches, don't know the ins and outs of what a major college football program goes through, how they go about recruitment of players. And we do this a couple times a year, and I asked Matt Dudek, University of Arizona Wildcat Director of On-Campus Recruiting and Player Personnel, to jump on board with us via Skype. He joins us from Tucson. Thanks for coming on board, Matt. I'm curious, how soon... at what age do you start to say, we want to offer that kid? Is it a freshman in high school? Is it a 14-year-old, 15-year-old? How soon, how early do you start the process?
I think everybody's a little bit different, Brad. I think that, you know, there's the freaks of the world, that those kids, you know, in ninth grade, they look like 32-year-old men, and you start getting on those guys immediately, obviously. But I would say mainly the main part of the recruitment is after your junior year of high school. That junior film is really the make or break point of most kids. Of course, there are kids that evolve as seniors that become much better, and we're always looking for those late diamond in the rough guys. But I would say most major programs are looking at that after junior film.
Getting the film. Okay, so there's services out there that will charge an arm and a leg, and there's services out there that are very reasonable. There's more and more high schools that are saying, we want to help out. In terms of getting the word out through these paid websites, what's your view on that front?
I'm not personally a big fan of certain ones where they're asking families to pay $5,000 to get your son recruited and those things. I don't really recruit off that at all, and I could say that for the program. And I'd say most major universities don't do that. Now there's almost every high school now has Huddle, where you can make your own highlight video. My email, all the coaches' emails are all on our website, and I would say that's across the board in the Pac-12 and Power 5 schools. And you can go ahead and email those yourself, make a highlight, send me your link, and that's how we look at things. And high school coaches do the same for us. But those services are saying, hey, for $5,000, we'll make sure the coaches see you. All they're doing is sending an email.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a real ripoff to some of these parents who are just trying to do the right thing that don't have any idea. How important is the social media presence of a player that you're recruiting, and are you looking at it from day one?
Social media is the next frontier of recruiting. It is literally how we communicate with kids before you can get them on the phone and before you start calling them their senior year. You're sending them direct messages. Hey, give me a shout. Hey, what a great game, blah, blah, blah. But it's that constant communication. And then it's also a way, information is power. We're looking at these kids' social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, see what they're posting, and you're kind of gauging what kind of character the kid has. You're kind of gauging how much he loves football. You're kind of gauging a little bit of everything. It's almost a character reference directly from the kid.
Are you looking at the parents' social media to figure out what kind of parent you're recruiting as well?
I would say that's not as often, but definitely the parents that are involved with the recruitment process, like heavily, that, you know, you're almost going through the parent more than the kid. You certainly look at their pages for sure.
7-on-7 coaches, are they getting to be too influential? Do you recruit kids off their 7-on-7 coach?
I know that Coach Schaub at Stanford kind of just talked about this a little bit. I would say that it's not that we recruit them off their 7-on-7 coach, like AAU in basketball, for example. But it's certainly, information is power. We try to talk to everybody, try to gauge maybe not his athletic ability, but what kind of kid he is, what kind of teammate he is, what kind of person he is. But the high school coach and the parents and the guidance counselors and the teachers, they're always going to be right up front in who we communicate with.
How, when you do offer, how do you go about it in terms of, if you haven't heard from the U of A by the time you're into your senior season, chances are pretty good the U of A or any other Power Five program isn't going to be recruiting you. I'm trying to get to the point of being realistic as a parent, a coach, and a player.
Sure. I mean, there's always those late developers like we talked about earlier, and then we will find you. We typically find guys. I can't, maybe a handful of times in my career have I got an email and gone, holy cow, this is the greatest player ever, and he really wants to come to U of A or really wants to come where I am, and we found him that way. Typically, we're finding you through high school coaches, through some of the services that we do, that we buy, that are free of charge to kids. If you don't hear from us from the middle of your senior year, most likely, most Power 5 programs, you're not. Now, again, there's always exceptions to every rule. But to be chasing down in December, that's unrealistic, to be honest.
How about players transferring program to program in high school, thinking that they've got to go to a program that every year plays in the state finals or deep into the playoffs, that that's the only way that they're going to get noticed? What's your view on that front?
No, I think wherever you are is where you are. We will find you. Arizona and every other school in the country, if you're a player, we will find you. What school you're playing for really doesn't play a whole lot into it. And I mean, also, it becomes a red flag. You transfer 2-3 times in your high school career. All of a sudden, it's, why is he transferring? It adds a red flag to the mix.
In terms of position coaches, strength coaches, speed coaches, all the specialization for parents, are they throwing money away on Saturday mornings, Sunday mornings, during the week? Is there a give and take on that? What's your view of this day and age of specialization coaches, Matt?
Well, the specialization coach is always good. Anytime you're playing football, anytime you're training, anytime you're getting faster, bigger, stronger, that's good. Is it necessary? No. You can get that done with your high school coach in your weight room. You can get that done just with your normal workout, team workouts. So you can certainly do that. One thing we always look at is one in the main profile is it a multi-sport kit? Mm-hmm. The movements you use in basketball and baseball and track are not the movements you use in football, but it's making you an overall better athlete. So I think that's something that you don't need to specialize in football as a junior in high school or a sophomore in high school and stop playing basketball. Now, if you're a guy that's sitting on the bench and you're playing because you're hanging out with your buddies, maybe you should go and start training a little more. But if you're a guy that's actively contributing to your high school team, you should be playing multiple sports.
That's actually a positive check if you're doing multiple sports, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
In terms of academics, okay, so in Arizona, you can go take AP classes, meaning you can get out of school early, you can get out of college early. Your transcript is your transcript. Not every kid's going to be a 4.0, but if you're in the position to go take AP advanced placement classes, is that a benefit to recruiting that kid to your campus?
I think so for multiple reasons. One, you're getting a better profile of a student. If your kid's taking AP classes, you're looking at a kid who is serious about his academics, and he's going to be serious when he's here about his academics. And on top of that, what people kind of forget is there's a sliding scale with your SAT score having to meet your GPA. And those AP classes, there's a point value to A's, B's, C's, and D's, 4, 3, 2, 1. A point value for an AP class is actually 1 point higher. So you get an A in an AP class, that's a five on that scale, which is going to make your grade point average jump pretty high. So if you could take them, if you have the ability to, and it's not just taking them to take them and getting a C, but if you have the ability to work hard and get an A or a B, that's huge for you. Now, taking the test, you know, the AP test at the end of these classes maybe isn't the most necessary. You can certainly get college credit for it, which is really, really great. But it's not like it's a mandatory thing. Really, just getting that grade is the best part.
Any last thoughts on the whole subject of recruiting I haven't hit on that you're thinking, Brad, here's something that's going on or that you want to emphasize?
I think the biggest thing is knowing what – communicating with the right people. And I know that's hard to say. Getting in touch with me or getting in touch with others isn't always the easiest thing to do. But just knowing the path, all these Nike camps and Under Armour camps, they're great. You know why? Because you're practicing football. You're out there showing off skills. But that's not necessarily going to get you recruited at every school. Coming to the summer camps at different universities. I can't believe I'm about to say, come to University of Arizona, go to NAU, go to Arizona State, go to other schools. That's where coaches live. That's where coaches are. And they're there to evaluate you during those summer camps. I can't go to a Nike camp. I can't look at what you're doing. So for us, getting on campuses and going to those camps is the most important thing.
Good stuff there, Matt. Appreciate the insight. Thanks.
No problem.
It's Matt Dudek, University of Arizona Director of On-Campus Recruiting and Player Personnel. Really good stuff there. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. So I saw this story about AC/DC, and Jared Nielsen is – this is where we need Jared to have a mic because he could jump in on this. But he's fine. He's like the audio police for us.
He's kind of like our silent assassin.
Wow. It's really strong on your part. Assassin. Really? Is that as far as it's going to go? Silent assassin? Man, that's crazy. No, the story came out about AC/DC. So, yeah, when I'm not here and if I have a good day and I'm cruising down the 101 or the 202 or wherever because freeway traffic is just dreadful here, chances are pretty good Shook Me All Night Long is blasting with the windows down. It happens. I don't have the John Clayton ponytail, but that's just who I am. And I saw that Brian Johnson, the lead singer for AC/DC, AC/DC had to cancel their 10 upcoming tour dates. Had to cancel 10 of them. Doctors told Brian Johnson if he doesn't stop touring, he's going to go deaf. Well, we don't want that. I mean, we want AC/DC. We want him to hit his marks and all that stuff. And the band's going to have makeup dates later this year. They're going to have a guest vocalist standing in for Brian Johnson. I've been wearing one of these for, I don't know, 30 years. They're just in different ways. You know, you have your headphone cans and you have this. I don't know, Eric. Are there times where you say something to me and I'm like, huh? What? Am I there yet? I have a friend who's a pilot, and I have to repeat things 3-4 times to him because he's been around engines of airplanes for years and years.
I don't necessarily have to repeat what I said. Just repeat to me things that you tell me like 2 days ago.
Really?
And you think you're telling me something that you haven't told me, and I'm thinking to myself, yep, you told me this 48 hours ago.
Well, that means I'm just getting old. That just means I'm fading off into the abyss.
Let's hope not. You are the owner of
you
this
want to
company.
You want to throw dirt on me.
You had a full head of hair when we started this company. And now look at it.
It moved down my back.
There
and
we go.
Even lower than that. It's TMI, right? Maria Sharapova's in the news cycle today. So when I saw this story about Maria Sharapova stepping up to a microphone and admitting that she used a banned performance-enhancing drug, it's a newly banned. It was banned on January 1st. And supposedly, and this happened at the Australian Open. Now, the reason why it's a big story, it's because it's Maria Sharapova, okay? Maria Sharapova earned $23 million last year. She's the Roger Federer when we're talking about women's sports in tennis. So it's a huge deal. I have a couple problems with this story. One where she said she didn't know any better. They sent an email out. I don't know. I'm guessing. I could be wrong. I'm guessing she has an agent somewhere. I'm guessing there's probably a handler. I'm guessing she's not the one that walks out to the mailbox every day and opens her mail and says, oh, I got a letter from the UTS. I got a letter from Worldwide. Oh, yeah, I shouldn't be using this stuff. The International Tennis Federation, the ITF. So come on. somebody had to have known. Somebody had to say, hey, look, this is going to be on the banned substance list. Now, she's been taking it for 10 years, she said. But the good news for Maria Sharapova, and Eric saw this morning, I thought the same thing. Not very often do we see somebody step up to the podium or a microphone in our business, in our industry of sports, and say, I screwed up. So she called a press conference yesterday, and I saw where Darren Rovell tweeted yesterday morning, I think it was, is Sharapova retiring? Because why would Maria Sharapova call a press conference other than just to say, no, I'm out? Other than she walked right up, dressed in black, took the podium, said, I tested positive for a performance-enhancing drug. Now, I saw where Jennifer Capriati ripped her, just crushed her, and I'm thinking, you're the last person that needs to be speaking on this. I saw where Martina Navratilova said, you know, we made an innocent mistake and we need to move on. Tennis in our country is not as big a deal, and I like playing tennis when I can move. I like playing tennis. But it's not as big a deal in our country as it is worldwide, unfortunately. Unless you're in New York for the U.S. Open, it's fine. John McEnroe's still my all-time favorite interview. By far, John McEnroe, my all-time favorite interview. Over Charles, anybody else. But it's not that big of a deal. You know, Alex Rodriguez sat there and played around like it was nothing. There was nothing happening. And, you know, deny. So Maria Sharapova has been suspended today by Nike. Now, being suspended, and I heard that she has like endorsement deals with car manufacturers and others. She's going to lose some money today because these endorsement deals are going to be suspended. She wasn't fired. Yeah, we're going to show her. You know, we had to wait till the dust settled. But I think you're right. I think you're the one that said this will be yesterday's news by tomorrow. And she'll come out of this just fine. That's what you need to do when something like this happens. And then the Aaron Andrews case finished up yesterday, and I've been fascinated with it. Some of you think I've been on it too much. I got some hate stuff yesterday about Paula and I going on and on and on. You know, it's an enormous story when you think about privacy. And the whole defense saying, well, her image has not been tarnished or damaged, if anything. This whole publicity case has taken off. That's been the defense on this deal. And Erin Andrews was awarded $55 million in her suit. Okay? $55 million. And I don't know if she's ever going to see that, because the guy that is the one that was looking through the peephole, he's in the pokey, and I don't think he has two nickels to rub together. The interesting side of this is, this week, there's been a surge in the hotel industry of peephole installation and covering of peepholes this week. So it's a little trickle-down effect. You could be the guy that's just kind of sitting there hanging out. What do you do for a living? I put peepholes in hotels. Yeah, it's kind of slow. I just show up and stick them in. There's been an absolute surge in this because now the whole hotel industry is freaked out. Even Paula said yesterday when she's going on the road now, she's going to look at things differently. Speaking of going on the road, Eric's going to the Pac-12 tournament. What team are you looking forward to seeing? You can't possibly tell me ASU. And is U of A really that interesting this year?
It's a wide open tournament. Yeah. I think I think there are a handful of teams at the top that could win. I know ASU has had a history of, as we have talked about, of not having any success in Vegas.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking. I mean, you've been there several times. It's just the atmosphere and going and watching four games in one day. With ASU, Oregon State as the nightcap tomorrow. I'm probably not going to get there until around lunchtime, but I'm just looking forward to watching some basketball.
You going to put bets down?
I probably will.
Come on.
I probably will.
You going to pick Oregon State?
Oh, no. Haven't seen the line.
Oh, God, shut up. Get out of here. What are you talking about?
I haven't seen the line.
Don't be PC with me. Get out of here.
I have not seen the point spread, but
I haven't seen the point spread. You're picking Oregon State. You just don't want to get in trouble with ASU.
No, I don't know.
You going to pick U of A?
Again, that's a team that's had very good success in Vegas.
Well, look, here's the thing.
They don't play till Thursday, so I have some time to think about it since they're one of the top four.
It is a U of A convention in Vegas.
It is.
That's all that this, when you go to this event, if you guys have never been to the Pac-12 tournament, it is the best party by far.
Like they call it, Brad, a neutral site game for U of A,
right.
It's like 95%
U of A fans. I would easily rather go to the Pac-12 tournament than a Super Bowl. somebody called me tomorrow and said, you can go to the Super Bowl next year, you have it. Take it. Not totally interested. You go to March Madness, when the Final Four is here next year.
Can't wait.
I know.
Like, one of the few sporting events I have not covered is a Final Four.
Oh, you've never covered a Final Four?
I have not.
Yeah, we got to be out of studio for that. We have to be somewhere. Like, they do the jam session, and you're sitting there. I remember this vividly. I'm doing the shows before I came to Phoenix, and we're doing stuff with UCLA, and they had Herrick there, and they're trying to win a national title, all that stuff. And I remember sitting there at the jam session, and they're walking by me. Herrick walks by, and he's got Tark, he's got John Thompson, and he had Raleigh Massimino. Okay. And they're walking by, and Herrick comes over and sits down, and Tark sits down. So I'm sitting there with Jim Herrick and Jerry Tarkanian, and we're just doing this. We're hanging out, and we're talking about Larry Johnson and Stacey Ogman and how Jim was trying to recruit them to UCLA and all that stuff. And Tark's just Tark. He's just this. I loved having him on. He was great. He was the Father Flanagan to some people, to others. He was just the dirtiest guy ever. But to me, it was just, I'm talking basketball with Tark.
It's awesome.
So cool.
People ask me, what's the best part of living in Phoenix? Well, let's see. Last year, the Super Bowl is here. This year, the national championship in football is here.
Yeah.
And next year, the Final Four is here. Does that answer your question?
I think we're going to have a baseball playoff team this year.
Ooh, wow.
I'm calling that one. I don't have a number yet.
Playoff team.
Some of these,
not just a winning team, a playoff team.
Here's the thing. Some of these nitwits last year that watched this show were reminding me that I said they'd win 82 games, right? And so, like, I'd get emails in May. You suck. You blow. You're this. And I got thick skin on it, but it was just, like, dumb. You're wasting my time. Like, you're really sitting there going through your life saying, Sesmat called this and it's May and they've lost two in a row. So I don't know if I'm going to throw a number out this year. But I'm saying they're going to the playoffs. You want to rip me on that? Rip me on that. Knock yourselves out. It's fine. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports.
It's good you're drawing a line in the sand. I like that. You did it last year, too.
No, I'm going to.
This is my prediction. I'm going up with it or I'm going down with the ship with it.
My prediction is the Suns are going to screw up their lottery pick, and we're going to be sitting there at 8 or 9.
No more wins, please.
Just stop. Enough.
Play well and lose.
Play
well
and lose.
That's what we want to see.
Devin Booker's got plantar fasciitis. Alex Len's got an elbow. Come on, pull him out of there. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content. High school, college, pro, college, high school. Makes no difference to us. We are the Sprouts and Whole Foods in a world of Walmart.
Sun signed Chase Bunger, by the way, today.
Shocking. Sports360AZ.com.